Today being the 19th of February, 2023, I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 7. Isaiah, chapter number 7. While you're turning there, I want to remind the men tonight, some of you were here this past Monday night for our first night of the men's Bible study. And I don't know about you, if you got the book and everything, you're going through that book, man, I have enjoyed this Bible study this week. And it's been a great study. And if you are still interested, we had the, Pastor Aaron did the orientation, I guess you'd call it, the opening session last week. And we got, we found out what it was all about. And then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here in Baker, we'll be doing the first lesson, lesson number one. And it's entitled, Experiencing God, Knowing God, a More Close Relationship. And I challenge you, if you could come, it'll be a blessing to your heart. It really will be a good blessing to your heart. So it would encourage Pastor Aaron as well. All right? All right, today we're looking at lesson number 3 in our series of lessons entitled, Messiah, the World's Only Hope. And as we study through the book of Isaiah, today we come to Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah chapter number 7. And the lesson is entitled, The Virgin-Born Messiah. The Virgin-Born Messiah. I don't know how many of you always believe what the word what the Lord tells you in His Word. I hope that you all do. But you know what? There are a lot of people in our world today that do not believe what the Bible has to say. You try to talk to them. You try to share with them what God has done for you. You try to share with them what God will do for them. But they simply refuse to believe. And you know, it's a sad situation with folks that just choose not to believe. They make a choice and they do this simply because they're wanting to continue to live in sin. They want to continue to do the things that they used to do. And you know, when a person gets saved, he changes us, does he not? He did me. He changed my wonder. I didn't want to do the things I used to do before I got saved. And he put a new desire in my heart. And, you know, there are some folks that just refuse to believe truth. I remember when I went to the Moravian Church, I had a friend that went there with me. We went to school together, and I talked to him one day about the Lord, and I tried to share with him what God had done for me and what God would do for him if only he would allow him to do it. And he looked at me, and he said, you know the way it is in the Moravian Church. He said, we don't always believe everything the Bible says. And I said, but that's what we need to be doing. And he said, oh, that's a Baptist thing. It's not a Baptist thing, folks. It's a Bible thing. God's word is true. As far as I know, that young man, he's my age. He's never gotten saved. I don't see him anymore. You know, we've been gone for a long time from down there. I don't know what ever happened to him. But you know what? It just breaks my heart. And this is the way it was in the life of King Ahaz that we're studying today. King Ahaz, he willingly chose to disobey the word of God. He willingly chose not to believe the promises of God. And all throughout different places in the Old Testament, you can read about it in 2 Chronicles, and I believe it's in 2 Kings and some of the other older chapters in Samuel. But you can read about this, and the Bible said that Ahaz did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. And it goes on to say that he walked in the ways of the king of Israel. Yea, and he made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen. He sacrificed his own son to these fire gods. I cannot imagine. I've been upset with my children at times, but not enough that I would do something stupid like that. And folks, it's just wicked. It's abomination. And folks are doing the same thing with little babies today, both before they're born and now the laws that they pass with them after they're born. My goodness, it's just a sad testimony for a nation that turns to be that wicked. But this was the situation with Israel. This was the situation now with Judah, with King Ahaz. God wanted Ahaz to believe him. And God wanted Ahaz to believe that he was going to be able to keep, God was able to keep Judah safe from the enemies around them. But the king made an alliance with the enemy. And then the enemy even came against him and did that which was evil and caused the people of Judah much, much trouble and heartache through the years. And folks, I want you to understand, God's arm is not short. God's hand is not short that he cannot deliver, that he cannot save. God is willing and he is able to do that which we can not even comprehend in our own minds. And God wanted to do that. God could do whatever he chose to do. And that's why I ask you the question in the front of the bulletin today. Could God really do that? There may be some things in your life today that you're going through, situations. And you're wondering, man, can God really do what he said he could do? I'm here today to tell you, yes, he can. And yes, he's willing to do that if we're willing to trust him and to obey him. Now, I want us to look at this lesson today. The lesson today is entitled, The Virgin Born Messiah. When God told Ahaz to trust him, and Ahaz chose not to, Isaiah, God's man, looked at Ahaz with just unbelief, and he said, you know what? God said that you could ask him anything you wanted to ask, any sign you want to, and he'll perform it so that you will believe and so that the people will believe. But Ahaz refused to do that. And because of that, we have a passage in the Bible that tells us something great that God did. And it's in verse number 14, our theme verse for this lesson. I want you to look at it with me this morning. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, Isaiah looked at that king eyeball to eyeball. He said, because you won't believe, God's going to do something. He said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Folks, listen to me today. This Bible verse serves as a foundational, fundamental, basic belief of our Christian faith. This is part of the fundamentals that we believe from the Word of God. We are called fundamentalists, okay? And I know that has become a bad word in some areas in the religious world. But to believe the fundamentals, the basic truths of the Word of God, that we have a virgin-born Savior, that we have a Savior that died, was buried, and rose again. We have a Savior that one day is coming back to take us home to be with Him. We have a Savior that is going to bring down judgment upon those that have rejected the Word of God. Folks, these are basic fundamentals of the faith. And yet this king turned it all aside. He rejected it all. And I want you to see today, two of the kings that neighbored Judah's borders, they had formed a military alliance together. And they didn't want to fall into battle with the Assyrian army, so they formed two alliances together. And they tried to make it seem like that they wanted to come with the king of Judah, Ahaz. But Ahaz didn't trust them. He didn't trust them. And these two kings, you're going to see them here in verses 1 through 9. in Isaiah chapter 7. They wanted Judah to join in their alliance. And they wanted it to be for their own protection. But King Ahaz refused to do this. And instead of trusting God to protect himself and the people of Judah, King Ahaz chose to join forces with the Assyrian armies. He chose to join forces up with them because they were much bigger than the other folks were. And because of that decision, Judah suffered greatly. They suffered greatly. Why? Because number one, they rejected God's offer of help and protection. They rejected God's way of doing things. And you can go back in 2 Kings chapter 16. And you can read about this. 2 Kings chapter 16. And in 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. You can read about this. It's all recorded there in more detail. But I want you to see some things today. I want you to see, first of all, the peril that was confronting Judah. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of the people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Let me remind you of something today. An unstable man, a double-minded man, is unstable in all of his ways. They're tossed to and fro like the wind does things. It's like in our political world today. If they want to make a decision, they want to and see which way the wind is blowing. What pleases the people more? Folks, we need to be concerned about pleasing God today. And this king was not interested in that. It was a sad situation for the people of God. It was a sad situation for this king. But I want you to look at what God said in verses 3 through 6. I want you to see God's promise of deliverance. Now look at this with me this morning. First of all, the word comes to the king. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 3 through 6, Then saith the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Let me stop right there and just remind you of something. God knows where you're at. People think that they can hide from God. People think that they can get away from the ever-seeing eyes of the Lord God. But God knew exactly where Ahaz was. And he gave specific detail to Isaiah and his son to know where to find them. This must have amazed, it must have amazed Ahaz. It had to. I mean, it would me to know exactly where to find me. But it's like he had a GPS on him, okay? God's surveillance system or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, he knew exactly where he was there in that fuller's field. Now look at what the rest of the verses say. God said in Isaiah, he said, And you say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. You see, these wicked kings, they didn't want to help King Ahaz. They wanted to defeat him and to knock him off so they could put in a puppet leader and they would remain in control. Boy, it sounds like America today, does it not? Sounds just like America today. Good night. They got a puppet leader in there, and there are wicked, evil people, minds behind all the things that's going on in our country today. Why? to bring the country down, to bring the nation down, to cause the people to forget the Lord their God and to turn unto any old wicked way that they want to live. That's what these kings were wanting to do. We see the word to the king, the warning that God gives unto him. God said, listen, you just listen to me. Take heed. Be quiet. Don't be afraid. Trust me. I know what their plan is, and I'm going to defend you. But listen to the word of the Lord in verses 7 through 9. The Bible said, Isaiah explained here, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. God said, if you'll trust me, I'll make sure that their plan does not stand. And I'll make sure that this thing does not come to pass in your life. Trust me. Fear not. Just be quiet. Take heed. Listen to what I'm telling you. Folks, this is where we're messed up in the world today. We don't take time to listen to God. Amen. We have rejected His Word. And instead of going back to see what God says about a matter, everybody has their own opinion. They have got their own opinion. You know what? It's not man's opinion that's going to amount to anything. It's God's word that's going to stand forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. And the Lord said unto Isaiah, or unto the king, he said, don't you worry about it. It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Now he warns King Ahaz. God already had a plan to bring these demonic men into subjection unto God. God already had a plan to provide protection for his people. But this man would not believe. And then when Isaiah foretold that within 65 years, Damascus as well as Samaria would be destroyed, what more could you want to hear from God? Man, if God spoke like that and showed us something that was true and faithful, I would believe him, wouldn't you? That's why we have the Word of God. But folks didn't want to listen. History teaches us that Damascus did indeed fall to the Assyrians in 732 B.C. And just 2 years after this prophecy was given by Isaiah, the Bible said that Israel fell in 722, just 12 years after that prophecy was given. Folks, God knows what he's talking about. We can trust God's word. If you'll remember from previous lessons over in the book of Daniel, Israel was taken into captivity, and Assyria filled the land with their foreigners who simply destroyed any hopes of Israel ever reuniting as a nation. They just wiped their hopes and their dreams away. And all of this happened in 669 B.C., 65 years to the day after God gave the prediction. God gave the promise. Folks, God's word could be trusted. But sadly, Ahaz would not take heed to the warning. And God warned him a second time. He said, if you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. And it's a sad plight in somebody's life when they refuse. They know the truth, and yet they refuse to believe it. Romans chapter 1 speaks of that. Because they knew God, yet they refused to acknowledge him as God, God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do that which was unseemly. Folks, that's where we are in our nation today. We're seeing this very thing happen. And folks, you and I need to learn to trust God. God knows what he's doing. So when he gave this message to Ahaz. And he looked at Ahaz, and Ahaz says, no, I'm not going to believe. And Isaiah says to him, if you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. God said, because he loved his people, he made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob that he was going to take care of them. He was going to see them through. God said here in verses 10 through 11, he said, since you've not chosen to believe me, I'm going to give you a sign that's going to prove that what I'm saying is true. Now, look at what he did. In verses 10 through 13, we see the presentation of a sign. God did all he could do to get Ahaz to believe him. And when Ahaz shook his head no, he couldn't believe him. The Bible said, moreover, even in addition to the previous warnings, moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. God said, Ahaz, let me show you a sign. You pick out whatever you want. If this is what you would have me to do so that you'll believe, I'll do it for you. Just tell me what you want. Tell me a sign that you would want to see in the heights of the heavens or in the breadth of the air around you. Yet, look what the Bible said. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Now, boy, he's trying to sound real religious here, isn't he? Oh, God, I wouldn't want to do anything like that to you. It's been written in the book of Deuteronomy that we're not to tempt the Lord our God. And he's trying to sound real pious and real religious in his rejection of God. And look what the Bible said. He said, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, this is Isaiah, hear ye now, O house of David. Ahaz was not alone there. The leaders were there with him. And the Bible said, Isaiah looked at them and said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Listen, if you don't think anything about wearying my judgments and what I'm telling you, if you're not going to listen to what I say, you need to listen to God. See what God's word said. Ahaz told both Isaiah and the Lord here in verse 12, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Attempting to make it sound like he was more spiritual than they were. Okay? How can you be more spiritual than God? My goodness. How can you be more spiritual than the Word of God? Listen, Ahaz was just wicked. He had made up his mind he was not going to trust God. The Bible said the fact was Ahaz did not desire to believe the man of God, and it was obvious not to believe in the great God that Isaiah had spoken of, but there was a reason. And if you go back to 2 Kings chapter 16 and you look in verses 7 and 8, you'll see there how that Ahaz had already made a deal with the devil, so to speak. He'd already sold his soul to the king of Assyria. And he robbed the silver and the gold from the house of God, the temple of God, to give to the king of Assyria so that the king might protect Judah and Jerusalem. And folks, it didn't work. When you read through there, the Bible said here in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 7 and 8, the Bible said, so Ahaz sent messengers to the king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house, and he sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. Can you believe that? He gave everything that he had, but it's sad to see that while Ahaz was willing, he was willing to steal from God in order to get help from the devil and from the enemies of God, those same enemies would later come against him and defeat them and just make life hard for them. So after hearing this king's response, God had offered him his personal protection. God had offered to give the king a personal son. Whatever you desire, Ahaz, I'll show it to you. I'll prove to you that I am able to do for you what I said I would do. And when the king refused to do that, Isaiah looks at this king in verse 13. He said, you've got to be kidding me. That's what he's saying in the original. You've got to be kidding me. You're afraid of tempting God? You're afraid to tempt God with your disobedience? My soul, just trust God. And Isaiah says to him, hear ye now, O house of David. God says, you can trust me. And he asked him a question. He said, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but you will weary my God also? In other words, you're not satisfied with simply wearying and tiring out the people or with turning away the man of God who has been sent to you to give instructions unto you from God and exhort you to trust the Lord and to do what God said do. But now you're going to try to fatigue and wear out God's patience? The patience of God himself? You're going to do something like that? Have you lost your mind? That's basically what he was telling him. King, you're crazy. You're a nut. But look what the Bible said. Because of this king's choice to not believe, and because of this king's choice to go along with something he had already made plans, and he wasn't willing to back off and say, God, I've made a mistake. I put my trust in the wrong ones. And God, I need your help to get out of this fix. He didn't do that. And in verses 14 through 16, Isaiah gives this king the prophecy of the Messiah. He gives him this prophecy. Here again in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14 through 16, we have one of the greatest prophecies that was ever declared in the Word of God concerning the promised Messiah. This is one of the greatest prophecies ever given. I want you to remember the fact that this particular prophetic declaration serves as one of the foundational truths that we believe in today, that our God would so love the world that he would give his only begotten son, his virgin-born son. God was going to do something for man that man could not do for himself. And God wanted to prove this. And folks, I don't know if you understand it or not, but this declaration of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ had not been, if it had not been made and fulfilled in our Savior, in our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that suffered and bled and died upon the cross, was buried for 3 days and three nights, and rose again to give us victory over sin. Had this not taken place, and he not had been virgin born, you and I would not have a Savior today. We would not have a Savior. We would still be lost in our sin. We would have no sinless Savior. We would have no spotless Lamb of God, as the Bible speaks of, that would be able, be qualified to take away our debt for sin. And our faith would all be in vain today. But God gave this prophecy. He gave this prediction for a purpose. It was to help Ahaz to know that, buddy, God can do what you cannot do. God can do for you what no one else can do, no other king can do. And I thank God today for the divinely ordained and divinely prophesied, divinely fulfilled prophecy that was given here that reminds us that we've got a sinless Savior. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 1 just a moment. Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1, beginning at verse 31. The angel Gabriel came to Mary, a young lady, a virgin. Now, this young lady was already espoused. She was promised to a man named Joseph. But they had not come together yet in marriage. And the Bible said here that the angel Gabriel told Mary, he said, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And I want you to look at this. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She confirmed the fact. She had not had any relationships with a man. She had not had any relationship that would bring forth a child. And look what the Bible said. "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." That word overshadow means to outweigh or surpass all the impossibilities in men's eyes. God is going to do something with you, young lady, that has never been done before. Why? To prove to a stiff-necked and rebellious people that God is in control, that God loves his people, and that God is willing to make a way of protection for them. And look what he said. "Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And go down a couple of verses there, and he said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Amen? Aren't you glad for that today? Nothing shall be impossible. Again, now think about this story. When Joseph finds out that Mary is expecting, she's with child. Turn back over to Matthew chapter 1 just a moment. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse number 20, God's word so plainly and clearly tells us, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." Now think about it. Joseph is contemplating in his mind. He has found out that Mary is expecting. She's tried to tell him, "It's not what you think." But he is not believing it because he's a man. He's a man. He's not believing it. The woman he's supposed to marry is expecting a child, and she's not had a relationship with some other man? Come on, give me a break. And he's thinking in his mind, he loves her. I don't want to make a public spectacle of her, so we're just going to, I'm going to put her away privately, and nobody will ever have to know. I love her. And man, this thing just breaks my heart. That's what's going through his mind. That's what's going through his heart. So the angel of the Lord appears unto Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done, listen now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is what? God with us. God in the flesh. God gave that message to King Ahaz through Isaiah, but he did not believe. The fact is, folks, the prophecy concerning the Messiah was divine proof from God of his everlasting love, not only for the children of Israel, but for you and me as well. Boy, isn't that great to know today? Now, I want you to look at this. The sign is given by God himself. Look at verse 14. He said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's what God did. And he fulfilled that. You and I look back now and we see what God said. We see what God did. And we know we have a Savior who is God with us. We know that today. But the sign was given unto them, not by Isaiah or any of the other prophets, but it was a sign that was given unto all the world by God himself. Why? Because God so loved the world that he was willing to give his only begotten son. And he did that for one purpose. What was that? That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, should not die without hope, but have everlasting life. That's what God planned for Isaiah. God wanted Isaiah to proclaim that message. He wanted Ahaz to believe the message. He wanted the people of Israel, of Judah, of Jerusalem, to believe that God was able to do this. And yet they chose to reject it. It was a sign given by God himself. But I want you to look at it. It was a sign of a son. Look at verses 15 and 16. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Apostle John would later write in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this signified how that the Word, God himself, would indeed come into this world in the form of a man and offer himself as the supreme sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Man, you know what they needed? They needed a Messiah. God gave them a sign of the Son that would come. The same thing that every other child born to Israel would eat, this virgin-born son of the living God, would come in the form of a man. He would live, he would eat, he would dwell among men for one single purpose, and that purpose being to prove the love of God for his people as well as for all the world. Now look at this. I want you to see the significance of this virgin birth. I want you to understand why it's so important what the Bible said. Look at this significance. Number one, it proves the fact of God's love for sinful man. It proves the fact that God loves sinners. Aren't you glad today that God loves sinners? Amen. Thank God for that. It proves the fact of God's intent for sinful men, that he made a way to be eternally right with God. Hey, listen, God made the way to be right with him. Why? Because mankind had sinned against God. Therefore, God was the only one that could provide the way, the means for man, sinful man, to be right with God and be forgiven. Thirdly, it proves the fact that only God could make all this possible. Only God. Listen, without a virgin-born, sinless Messiah, sinful man would still remain eternally lost in his sins. Five times. I looked at this yesterday as I was in here studying. Five times within the Gospels, we read how that after hearing all the accusations against this man called Jesus, and after hearing all the lengthy, blasphemous things that the Jewish leaders had to say against him, he went through all this lengthy scrutiny and questioning. Pilate declared to all the people that were there, religious and lost, He declared unto all the people that this God-man that was standing before him, known as Jesus, beaten, smitten, spit upon, mocked and ridiculed, stripped naked, scourged, and then standing there with a bloody garment on him with a reed in his hand and a crown of thorns upon his head. Humiliated, railed upon by these wicked people. Pilate declared, I find no fault at all in this man. You know why? Because he was the sinless, perfect Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world and given to pay the debt for your sins and for mine. He was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And that is our Savior today. That's pretty significant, I would say. Amen? That makes it pretty significant. He was in the world, the Bible said. John wrote, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, oh, thank God for this. But, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Man. So when you would not believe this, he gave them a son. And at the right time, that son was fulfilled in Jesus Christ through that virgin birth. Now, I want you to look then what he did at the end. He gave them predictions of coming judgment because of unbelief. Folks, listen to me today. Folks will never go to hell unloved by God. They'll go to hell because they choose not to believe. They'll go to hell because they reject the Messiah, the virgin-born Messiah, but they'll never go to hell unloved. And the Bible said here in verses 17 through 25, Isaiah told this king, along with all those other leaders there in Israel, he said, the Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria, and they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys, and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns, and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverings. It shall even be briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns, and all the hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear for fear of the briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of the lesser castle. Folks, when man believes he's something, he falls. Judgment comes. Folks, we have a virgin-born Messiah today. And we need to be thankful for that. Listen, let me ask you something. Do you believe that God can really do that? He did. And he wants you to believe him today and take him at his word. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I know the hour is late. But God, I pray, Lord, you'll take the words of my lips today and help our people, Lord, to learn to trust your word, to learn to depend upon you in all things. I pray, dear God, today that if there be someone lost that's listening to the sound of my voice, Lord, that they will trust you. They will learn to depend upon you and know that you care for them and want them to be saved. Bless now our pastor as he stands to preach. And God will thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in class.